Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gaumond, and welcome to the Wednesday show. How is everyone? Kind of over the holidays yet? Are you kind of past it, or are you still kind of celebrating? Are you still kind of in that holiday kind of post, mode, I guess, mode? Yes. So how's it going? We're going to have some fun today? That was my intention this year, is to have more fun. And, well, and as a coach, as a life coach, as a spiritual life coach, my intention is to help you to have more fun. And I mentioned, as a coach, what do I do? What does a coach do? And I talk about this, and I just want to emphasize this every time, is a coach is about teaching you something, inspiring you somehow, some way, and motivating you. Now, I rely on my spirit group, the Adonis group, to give you information. So if you want to call in, and if you want to talk to them, or if you want to maybe perhaps connect with a dead relative, I call them dead people. They're not really dead. We can do that. But the emphasis on the show today is really all about abundance. Ooh, what a beautiful word, abundance. I did a class on abundance on learnitlive.com. And as when I prepared for the class, the more and more I got to realize that abundance is really a very subjective thing, because abundance can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Now, you could be abundant in health, money, just family, friends, love. So abundance is really up to you, isn't it? Whatever you want abundance to be. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. And it's kind of funny that when I start down this road of abundance and what I'm going to talk about and the articles I'm going to look for, it's like synchronicity. I get led to articles. And so I thought, well, that's what we're going to talk about today, is some articles that I've found. Where, if I can find the right ones again, let me kind of, I got way too many things open. Oh, one's about happiness. What genuine happiness, and science say that you need friends, health, and not wealth. Now that's one. That's the other one was about 4 mindset changes you adapt for you successful people. But that wasn't the main article. Where did my article go? No. Okay, well, I'll find it. Yes. Oh, okay. I have an article about successful people and how to overcome success, or how to overcome failure. I don't have to look for that other article again. It somehow got lost in the process of doing all this. Okay, so I'll take a caller in a minute, and then I'll go find the article that I was looking for. I can't believe it. Okay, so let me. Here's the article. I found it. Aha! 7 reasons training your. No, that's not it. Okay, I know. I somehow clicked onto a different section of an article, and got led to a different direction, and so yes, here I am, struggling to find. Okay, so I'm going to do that in a minute. Okay, I'll take a call. Okay, so I think I found the article I want. And yeah, I got it. So I'm back. Whew. Oh, man, scared me. I almost didn't find the article I wanted. I'm back. So let me take a call. I'll let my spirit guides talk to you, group, talk to you a little bit. And we'll talk about this article I found. And it relates to happiness. It relates to success. It relates to abundance. It's all interrelated kind of things. You can't have abundance unless you have some of these other things that this article talks about. I almost thought I lost it. Why? Okay, so let me take a call, and then we'll jump into all of that, and we'll have some fun. It's all about having fun, isn't it? Hello?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. I was wondering if there are any messages for my coming year, this coming year.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Joe, because this show is all about abundance.
Yeah.
So how do you define abundance in your life? What would, if you felt I reached a state of abundance, what would that mean to you?
that would mean that I could afford the things that I would like to have in my life and be able to pursue certain artistic projects without concern for financial situations.
Okay. So that's what your intent is for 2017?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, my focus is really about not so much what the prediction was going to be, but what you want. How do you need to get there? And you're already halfway there, aren't you? Aren't you already halfway there? Do you have the mindset to achieve it already? You have the goal. You have the direction already, correct?
Yes.
And you're never going to let any failure step in your way, are you?
No, I'm too old for that.
Okay, so, I mean, it looks like a great year for you. You just have to set your intention, right, for the year,
mm-hmm.
your goals, and do it. Why not? Not that I'm trying to avoid your initial question, but it feels like you've already put it out to the universe. This is what I want, and I have the skill, ability, and the wherewithal to make it happen, right?
That's where I may have some obstacles that are a little tough to overcome as far as having the financial ability to put everything into motion.
Okay, so you need to manifest money.
In a sense, yes.
Okay, so that's the abundance that you're looking for. So do you know how to do it? That's a trick question. Obviously, you knew how to do it. You had already had it done, and you'd have all the money you need, right?
Right.
I'm not picking on you, but it's because it what it feels like is, and from a spiritual perspective, and you can take this and work with this or not, but from a spiritual perspective, the how part is really up to the universe. So it's time for you to turn this over and be creative in what you do and ask and have belief system that, yes, if I ask for it, it's going to come to me. The money I know will come to me. I'm just going to ask for it. I'm going to put my order in for X amount of money by a certain date to the universe or God or spirit or however you want to phrase it. And I'm just going to get busy with my life doing what I do creatively, and it'll flow to you. But you can't,
okay.
You know, my mantra is, it's a very simple mantra. I turn over all my worries, concerns, fears, and problems to source, God, for a solution. So turn it over for a solution and get busy with your life. I bet if you do that, if you can do that. Now, a lot of people have a problem with that, and I understand why, because I've had a problem with it most of my life, is the idea that, oh, I'm just going to surrender it and go get busy and have some fun. Okay.
Okay.
I actually learned that principle a long time ago, but sometimes you don't listen to your own principles that you learn. So I would say to you, yeah, all you have to do, not all that you have to do, there's some action, follow-up action. When you ask for something, there's always going to be something required of you to do, an action item to do. So wait for the action items. You'll get them. Okay?
Okay, great.
Don't question it. Okay? Take care. Have fun. Have a good year.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye now. So that's what I call coaching, or listening to spirit, and spirit's giving this man advice. And it's not me, because I just pay attention to what I'm getting and what they tell this person to do, or whatever person to do. It reminds me, yeah, it's that's such a tough principle to live by, isn't it? Okay, I'm just going to turn it over and go have some fun. And it's like, wait a minute. What about action? What about doing something? But if you don't know what to do, why are you beating your head against the wall trying to get something done, right? If you don't know how, you can research how, and you can study how, and you can go to, you know, you can Google this and Google that and go to the library or online library and look all these books up. Or you can wait for some direction from the universe, from source, that'll give you kind of a guidance of where to go and what to do it. I remember a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And in the book, he said there's a spiritual solution for all problems. And basically what he's saying is that, yeah, turn it over. Let it go. And I learned this principle back in the 1980s, actually from a business book. believe it or not. You know, it's like a business book. Yeah, how to solve problems. And it was basically turn it over to the collective consciousness, to the universe, and wait for your answers and go do something fun. It's a very simple principle. And it's a hard principle to live by because we're kind of action-driven people. We always want something. I got to do it. I got to do it myself. No, wait. Like, and delay is okay sometimes. Delay is okay. It doesn't happen. It doesn't have to happen immediately for it to happen. If that makes sense at all. Okay. Because sometimes the universe has to arrange things and put things in order based on your request. So, in the gentleman that was calling in, I would say just put your order into the universe. I read a really cool book about just putting your order into the universe. Be clear what you want. And his case would be, I need the financial support to continue with my creative activities, to market my creative activities, whatever it might be. So, anybody else want to call in? Anybody want to talk about or talk to dead people or my spirit group? I was going to do that. Yes, there's an article I want to cover, at least one, but first I want my spirit teachers to talk to you a little bit about abundance and how they define abundance. So I'm going to go into the background, let the Adonis group talk to you for a minute about abundance. You trip up on that word all the time. As humans, you trip up on the word abundance because you get singularly focused on what abundance is. And you assume abundance means money or financial support. Now, that's an aspect of abundance. Now, we've talked about this before, so we don't want to be redundant. We don't want to go over the same things over and over again about abundance. But let's just simply put it in very simple terms. Abundance is about feeling good. Abundance is having a life where you feel really good a large portion of your time. Or in other words, you could say that you're in a state of happiness most of the time. And if you're in that state of happiness, if you're feeling good physically and mentally, emotionally, feeling good, enjoying life, you're abundant because all these other factors are contributing to your abundance. The money, the friends, the relationships, the place you live, the travel, you're abundant because it's based on your priorities. Your abundance is based on your priorities. Your feeling good, your being happy is based on your priorities because you're doing things that you love to do. You're enjoying your life. And that really depends on who you are and what you set as, this is what's important to me in my life. This is what I love to do, and I'm doing it. And how you get there, well, there's a lot of different avenues. So we would describe abundance in that way. It's feeling good. It's feeling good about your life. You're accomplishing something. You're getting something done. You could say that Mother Teresa felt good. I mean, she had, you know, difficult times. Of course, she had problems. You all have problems. But you could say that she was happy. But did she have a lot of money? No, not necessarily. But she was abundant. Because she was happy, she was joyful in what she did. She found satisfaction. She found joy in helping people. That was her sense of abundance. Each person has their own sense of what abundance is. You just have to find your own. What lights up your world? What makes you feel good? What are you doing that feels good to you? Now, we would say that we would stop. We're going to stop here for a moment and say that for most people, it's being in service of some kind. It's doing something that helps other people in some way, whether it's your family, your children, your spouse, your neighbors, your extended family, your community. You're doing something in service. And that's what brings about a great deal of feeling good, abundance, happiness, doing something, you're sharing something, you're giving of yourself. People who are successful in business, it's because, and those that were happy, and they're not miserable wretched people, but those that are happy doing what they do, it's because they're in service. Their company does something. Their business does something that helps people. Okay? In some way. But it's even if it's creating a product of some kind. You know, a person who makes motion pictures and movies does it so that letting their creative self go out, but also they know then the end result, people are pleased with their product. It makes people feel good to come to the movie theater and have that 2 hours of enjoyment. Gives them an escape. It makes the creator feel good that other people appreciate their work. Or at least it inspires other people to think about their work. Artists do that. Artists get a satisfaction and a sense of abundance because people look at their work and respond to it. It stirs an emotion inside them. So look at your lives. We would say that most of you are at your core happy. You're happy people. You're abundant people. You just need to reflect on that for a moment and stop yourselves from the complaining about your lives and realize that for the most part you're happy because you're doing what you love to do. And think about that. And you think about change and growth and, you know, developing yourselves. That makes you happy to stretch yourselves. We weren't going to go on and on about abundance. We were just going to say that it's really very individualistic. It's a lot of abundance is about in service to others. It's about feeling good. It's about maintaining a level of happiness for the good part of your life. So think about abundance in that level. If you're happy, if you're feeling good, if a good portion of your life, everybody has down moments. We understand that. Not every day, 24/7, 365 days a year, are you happy? Well, maybe you're happy on that leap year, that 366 day. That's the day you can be happy. But the rest of the time, no. No, we're playing with you a little bit. Only that one day every 4 years you get to be happy. I hope you see the humor in that. We thought it was kind of cute. I don't know. But just maintaining a level of happiness, being in service, doing what you love to do, and feeling good about it. So we'll leave you with that. So that's how we define happiness from our non-physical perspective of your lives. Thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, I'm back. Well, that was a little different take on happiness, wasn't it? Abundance. I'd never heard that before. That's kind of cool, I think. I don't remember. Maybe I'll remember this time. Sometimes I never remember what they had to say. So, but that was nice. I like that a lot. I have to hopefully they'll let me remember that thing about just being happy. Yeah, just being happy. That's abundance. Feeling good. Joyful. Yeah, enjoying life. That's being abundant because whatever you're doing is contributing to it. Okay, let me get into an article or two. I get articles from different places and I Google articles, but then I get from a website called LifeHack, LifeHack.org, and a bunch of articles. Now, some are appropriate and some aren't appropriate, but I thought today's articles were. And it was from Dr. Magdalena Battles is the doctor's person's name. And it's self-talk determines your success. And I thought, well, that kind of struck a chord with me. Self-talk determines your success because we can tie the word success with abundance, can't we? If you're successful, you're generally abundant in something. So there was 15 points, and I won't go through the introduction. I'll just get right into the point, and I'll kind of paraphrase as much as possible without getting too bogged down in each one of these points. But you might want to jot these down. These are self-talk, things you talk about, you know, self-talk. You know what that is, right? Obviously. Replace negative thoughts with positive. Number one on the list. To be successful in life, replace negative thoughts with positive. Negative thoughts happen. It's hard to provide yourself with positive thoughts all the time. However, you can start replacing negative thoughts with the positive. There is always a flip side or upside to any situation. you know, what's that, the silver lining, you know, the grass is greener, whatever that, whatever the expression is, right? It's up to you to start finding the positive in order to begin changing your negatives into positives. For example, if you sign up for a half marathon race and make it to a mile 10 and then get a leg cramp so bad that you're unable to finish, you can mentally call yourself a quitter. Or consider the situation a failure. You can turn those thoughts around by telling yourself at least you tried, at least you made an effort, right? And you made it all the way to a mile and a tenth. You accomplished something. You're not a total failure. You got so far. So any situation, you can look at it and turn the negative into a positive. You can turn it into a lesson. What did I learn from that situation? What am I learning from this negative thought? And turn it into a positive. Okay, I like the next one. Have a purpose higher than self. Number two. I don't know if I'll get all through all 15. We'll do some of these, and then I'll bounce back and see what you guys have to say, because there was one I want to leap off into a different direction anyway. Have a purpose higher than yourself. Research shows that teens who had regular religious service attendance, high subjective importance of faith, and years in the religious groups are associated with higher self-esteem and more positive attitudes. But in a sense, what they're saying here is those who have some spiritual practice, whatever it might be, religious or spiritual practice, generally have more self-esteem and goes into a more positive attitude about life. Next point, cut overly negative people out of your life. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, you're trying to avoid negativity. Your self-talk is about success, and you have the Debbie Downers in your life. Right? So kind of avoid those people whenever possible. Don't spend time off work with negative coworkers. Now, that's a great point. Let's go out for a beer, right, or drink, or let's go out and have some coffee, and you're going to take the negative people with you that sit and whine and complain about everything that's happening at the job? I don't think so, right? Be grateful. Next point. That's appreciation. Be grateful. Just appreciate little things in your life. Just start appreciating all the little things in your life. Next one, don't compare yourself to others. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That could really drive you crazy. That could really get you down. I have clients I know that like to say, well, I haven't accomplished, I compare myself to the other people I work with. You know, no, stop it. Don't do that. Use positive words with others. I like that. Use positive words with others. Don't get into that negative talk. Use positive, you know, bring up the level of the vibration of a conversation with other people. Don't let the conversation slip into negativity. Believe in success. I like that. Believe in success. Believe in your ability to succeed. Believe in the abilities and skills that you have so that you can propel yourself towards success. Don't fear failure. Ooh, how? Don't fear failure. And then I was going to flip into an article after reading this one. They have a little lead to six stories of super success who overcame failure. And I thought I would go into this. This particular article talks about Milton Hershey. And I saw this whole little thing on Milton Hershey. And I thought, well, that really ties in really nicely with this and what I've been hearing lately. So let's flip. I can't talk today. I had some licorice. I think too much sugar. That's my problem, right? Okay, so let's flip into people who failed but didn't let failure get to him. Let failure be a learning lesson, right? Arianna Huffington got rejected by 36 publishers. It's hard to believe that one of the most recognizable names in online publications was once rejected by 36 major publishers. Huffington's second book, which she tried to publish long before she created the Huffington Post empire, was rejected 36 times before it was eventually accepted for publication. So each time she failed, it doesn't say here, but each time she failed, she would move forward, right? Even Huffington Post itself wasn't a success right away. In fact, when it launched, there were dozens of highly negative reviews about its quality and its potential. Now, that could, a lot of people, that would shut you right down right there. You open up something, you start something, you put it out there, and everybody's saying, oh, there's something wrong with that. You know, I don't know, that'll never succeed. That'll never make it, right? Obviously, Huffington overcame these initial bouts of failure. She took them as lessons. Okay, let's tweak that a little bit. So that's what they're saying. Let me look at that and examine that a little bit, and let's see if we can change it. And the Huffington Post is a very successful. Now, I didn't know this one, and this is an interesting article. The point: Bill Gates watched his first company crumble. See, it wasn't Microsoft. That's not where he started. Bill Gates is now one of the richest individuals in the world, but he didn't earn his fortune in a straight line to success. Gates entered the entrepreneurial scene with a company called Trafodata. Trafodata, which aimed to process and analyze the data from traffic tapes. Think of it like an early version of big data. He tried to sell the idea alongside his business partner, Paul Allen, but the product barely even worked. It was a complete disaster. Now, knowing a little bit about Bill Gates, his mother didn't want him to do this anyway. She wanted him to finish at Harvard, finish school, all this, you know, you're giving up Harvard to do this stuff, right? He could have quit right then and said, okay, Mom, you're right, I'm going back to school. But he didn't do it. He took that failure as a stepping stone. Okay, boom, done. Think about that. He didn't, you know, he had all this pressure. Go back to school, you're failed. Hey, you never make it. What, you know, like really, seriously, you want to do this? Okay, George Steinbrenner, I don't know if you know who he is, but let's read the article. Bankrupt the team. Before George Steinbrenner made a name himself when he acquired ownership of the New York Yankees, he owned a small baseball team called the Cleveland Pipers back in 1960. By 1962, a result of Steinbrenner's direction, the entire franchise went bankrupt. The stretch of failure seemed to follow Steinbrenner when he took over the Yankees in the 1970s, as the team struggled with a number of setbacks and losses through the 1980s and 90s. However, despite public fear and criticism of Steinbrenner's controversial decisions, eventually he led the team to an amazing comeback with 6 World Series entries between 1996 and 2003. Now, knowing a little bit about baseball and the history of George Steinbrenner and the New York Yankees, and I read a book by Joe Torre, who was the manager of the Yankees during a big chunk of that period. Before that, Steinbrenner interfered with everything, got involved in everything, and he never let his manager and his general manager have control. But finally, he gave up and gave in and let them run the team. So he became the owner, got involved in the finances, and marketing and so forth, and let baseball people run the baseball team. And then he became successful. So sometimes you have to step back. You have to do what you do well. And if you love a business, and let the people that are involved and know the business, that aspect of the business, do their job, right? Isn't that true? So you have to learn from your failure. Sometimes you have to humble yourself a little bit and go, oh, okay, you know what? I'm gonna let you guys run it. So you have to, in your life, you have to step back and go, oh, that failed. Maybe I should do a little more delegating in my life. Maybe I can't control everything. What do you think? I'm having fun with this, but this is kind of, let me get back to the article. These are things we can, oh, yeah, the mind. Okay, 6 stories. I think these are fun. Walt Disney was told he lacked creativity. One of the most creative geniuses of the 20th century was once fired from a newspaper because he was told he lacked creativity. Trying to persevere, Disney formed his own animation company, which was called a Laugh-O-Gem Films, Laugh-O-Gram Films. He raised $15,000 for the company. Eventually, he was forced to close the company, following the close of an important distributor partner. Despite desperate and out of money, Disney found his way to Hollywood and faced even more criticism and failure until initially his first classic film started to skyrocket in popularity. He had a lot of problems getting there, right? Boom, done. Work, you know, he kept refining himself, kept learning from what he was doing, and success came. Steve Jobs was booted from his own company. Steve Jobs is an impressive entrepreneur despite of his boundless because of his boundless innovations, but also because of an emphatic comeback from an almost irrecoverable failure. Jobs, well, you know about the Apple story. He started the Apple story, and then he was let go from his own company, but he came back. And there came the iPod and the iPhone and all those things that followed. He set the tone. He learned from his failures. And number six, back to Milton Hershey. I love this story about Milton Hershey, you know, Hershey chocolates and all that stuff, right? He started three candy companies before Hershey's. Everyone knows that Hershey's chocolate, but when Milton Hershey first started his candy production career, he was a nobody. After being fired from an apprenticeship program with a printer, Hershey started three desperate separate candy-related ventures and was forced to watch all of them fail. In his last attempt, Hershey founded the Lancaster Caramel Company and started seeing enormous results. Believing in his version for milk chocolate for the masses, he eventually founded the Hershey Company and became one of the most well-known names in the industry. So what these stories are telling you is you fail at something. It doesn't work out. Do you quit? Do you give up? Do you go back to Harvard like Bill Gates didn't do? Do you go get a job at something you don't like because you may have failed at the second attempt at something? Or do you keep pushing forward? Do you have a mission in life? Do you have a purpose? Okay? Do you have a mission? And let's go back to what I talked about earlier about happiness. Wait a minute. Ooh, yes. Self-talk. It's okay. So they talk about next about post-positive affirmations. Have positive mantras or affirmations that you can look at. Find something that inspires you, that moves you forward, that you can think about in a positive way. Changing your thoughts to a positive thought, right? Have positive mantras. Whenever time I'm seemed a little down or I have a problem, seem to have a problem or something comes up, I turn over my problems, my worries, my concerns over to Source for solution. I let go. Just let it go. Next point. Don't dwell in the past. Now, that can beat you up, right? Don't be too hard on yourself. Everyone has a past. Everyone has had bad things in their past. Don't concentrate on these failures, mistakes, or negative things that have happened in your life. Keep your mind focused on the future and what is possible. You can learn from those. You know, like those success stories, they learn from something from each failure. Well, that didn't work. Well, what could I have done differently, right? Especially the positive things that are possible. There is reason why your windshield is so big and your rearview mirror is so small in your vehicle. What's ahead of you is far more important than what is behind you. That's not a beautiful metaphor for life. There is a reason why your windshield is so big and your rearview mirror is so small in your vehicle. What's ahead of you is far more important than what is behind you. Yeah. But how many people get hung up in the past? Well, I failed this, I failed that, I didn't do this, I didn't, you know. And we all kind of have a tendency to do that from time to time. But it's, as I said, look forward. Visualize your success, step number 11. It's a great article, and I'm going to share this on Facebook so you can read it for yourself if you want to read it. It's a great article. It's a really kind of – it's something that you can look at from time to time and go, yeah, I agree. Your ability to visualize your success is tied to your ability to actually achieve success. Your ability to visualize your success is tied to your ability to actually achieve success. There's an article that they will lead you to if you're so inclined. It takes you about visualizing success. Visualization, seeing what you're going to do, seeing what the end result is going to be. You may not know exactly how to get there, but you can visualize the success of where you want to be. You can visualize what it's going to do or where you're going to be. Okay, let me check back with you folks if anybody wants to talk to me. Okay. But that's what this whole show is about, and that's what coaching is about, life coaching, letting my spirit guides talk to you about motivation, inspiration, and teaching so that you can achieve whatever you want in life. So overcome your problems and get whatever you want. So let me move back on to this whole thing about success. Okay, so we did the visualization. Limit your intake of news and media. Now, I don't have to get into this article very much to tell you that if you turn on the evening news and read a lot of articles, there's a lot of negativity being thrown at you every day. Every day. The headlines for the news are crazy about the negativity in the world. Avoid it. It doesn't help your thinking process. You get caught up in the negativity, and it doesn't help. Remind yourself there are lots of positive things happening in the world too, but they just aren't put on the news. Let me read that again, because this is really, really important for self-talk. And I hear so many people whine, oh, what's going to happen now? Look at the world. You know, they hear all the articles and all the people talking about the election or what's going to happen and blah, 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 blah. Remind yourself there are lots of positive things happening in the world too, but they aren't put on the news. So look for positive stories, right? Point 13, help others. Helping others is a way to bless others, but also an even bigger blessing to yourself. The feelings you help, you can experience feelings of being more positive, empowered, and optimistic by helping others. These feelings will help you have greater, better self-talk during your day. Try to do one thing each day to help another person. That's kind of a great little concept, isn't it? Try to do one thing each day to help another person. It doesn't have to be a big thing. So that you can begin the habit of helping others on a regular basis. Maybe it's just holding open an elevator door for somebody. Maybe it's just really little things. Letting somebody go in front of you in line. I was at the market yesterday and I had a whole basket full of stuff. And the lady in front of me had a whole basket full of stuff. And there was a gentleman with one item. Why let him go in front of me? I could have been a jerk and make him behind me. I thought, you know, he's got one item. How long is it going to take him anyway? And it would be so that's like helping somebody else, right? Little things like that. And you feel good about it. Hey, you help somebody. Be physically active. So just get out there and do things, right? Get up, get active, and improve your body and mind together by exercising on a regular basis. It reduces stress, creates confidence. And it causes happy brain chemicals by getting out there and being active. And it's you figure out what you like to do. Is it just walking? I shouldn't say just. By walking, maybe you swim. Maybe you do yoga. Maybe you do some other things. Maybe you're a gym rat. Who knows? Maybe you like to play basketball or tennis. Just do something, right? Dream and set goals. That's a little bit like visualization, isn't it? That's the final point. Dream and set goals. A great way to begin positive self-talk is to dream about the future. Interesting. What is your desire in life? What do you want out of life? Where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 15 years? Allow yourself to dream big and then set smaller goals towards reaching those end goals. I won't read the whole thing, but that's pretty much it. Dream, set goals. Okay. What does all this have to do with abundance? Well, success is abundance, and however you determine success. My spirit guide said, abundance is being happy in enjoying life and feeling good. So if you have good self-talk, if you're feeling good, if you're positive, you're on the road to abundance, however you determine abundance to be. I guess that was the main point. They're going to let me remember that for a while, aren't they? That it's abundance is really a personal thing, and it really is all about being happy, maintaining a level of happiness in most of your life, and feeling good. Feeling joy, just having fun. If you allow yourself to do that, you're abundant. And whether it's about money or relationships or whatever it is in your life, if you're happy, you've already got there. And that's abundance. You could live in a hut or a small little home in the middle of South America in a small village and be happy. And you're abundant. You have family. You have friends. Right? It's not about the money. There was an article. I was going to read today. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll be back tomorrow. I'll post this one tomorrow. It's about what genuine happiness. Science says that you only need friends and health, not wealth. And we'll talk about that. We'll get into that a little bit more about abundance. And what you really need is health and friends, family in your life. To be happy, and it's not about money. And this is research that's been done, and I read through the article. I thought, interesting. So we'll get into that a little bit more, because we get tripped up in Western society. We get all tripped up on happiness. Abundance is about money. Happiness is about money, or happiness is another person that's going to make me happy. No, it's not another person. Absolutely not. Okay. So I've had fun. Got a few more minutes left in the show, but if anybody wants any questions for Spirit, any follow-up thoughts on what I've been talking about? If not, well, I'm not going to end early. That's not an article I wanted to, I'm babbling a little bit. There's an interesting article, and I thought I would just share a couple minutes of it while I got some time to just tell you about it. Prefer alone time to social gatherings. Science says it's because you're highly intelligent. Basically, the article is telling us, and I won't get too much into it, the higher your intelligence, the more you prefer to be on your home, alone, by yourself, working on your things. It's a growth and evolution, because in our evolutionary process, we came from hunter-gatherers, and where it was a community, it was a social community. We did things for each other. But as we grow and as our mind develops and become more intellectual and more intelligent and our IQs raise, we have a tendency to want to be alone and to work on our own thing. Interesting. Not that highly intelligent people don't like to be with other people, but if you find highly intelligent people, it's an interesting thing that they like to be with other people, but they like to share their ideas of what they're coming up with. It's not small talk. It's not gossip. It's about what they've been working on, what they're sharing their ideas and their thoughts with other people. And that's where they get off on. You know, you find very intelligent people. I live near Caltech, and you'll find groups of young people that are intellectual talking about what they're working on. Computer systems, astrophysicists, and all of that sort of thing. That's where they share their socializing. It isn't necessarily just out partying. Oh, could be that too, I don't know. I'm sure they party. Kind of like Sheldon, right? Big Bang Theory, good old Sheldon, right? A little bit like that. So it's been fun. It's a little different show. I love doing this stuff. Again, if I can help you individually, if you want my spirit group to speak to you and help you and coach you to help you to inspire, motivate you, give you information that'll guide you to where you want to go next, more than willing to do that. You can contact me through Blog Talk Radio, but also I'll give you the website you can reach me, or Facebook. You can go to the messenger.info and contact me. And I would love to have them speak to you about what's going on in your life and what you might need. So thank you. Thank you again. I love you guys. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk more about we'll get back into abundance a little bit, maybe, or just talk to dead people. Maybe we'll talk about past lives. We'll see. Bye.